I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Kevin Sweeney covers college basketball for Sports Illustrated. He's my colleague at Field of 68. We've worked quite a bit together over the last month or so. Nice enough to join us now. Mr. Sweeney, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
I'm good, man. It's a great time of year. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know. I feel like when you sort of set out and you look at this bracket, and I kind of felt this way even before the bracket was set and we knew, but it just always felt like once you got past the four line that there just weren't that many teams that would threaten, and it could look chalky. Now, we probably didn't think that last year. We probably didn't think there'd be a FAU. We probably didn't necessarily think there'd be a San Diego State. But is there a team that you feel can crash the party, or is this going to be a chalky year?
Look, I think it'll be chalky to an extent. I think the thing that's different about this year than last year is I felt like there were a lot of very consistent teams, right? Like, I mean, if you think about the three teams that made the Final Four from outside the top four seed lines, right, Miami, FAU, and San Diego State, all those teams had a really consistent good seasons. People just had questions, all right, for San Diego State, it's the Mountain West, you know, NCAA tournament, lack of success. For Florida Atlantic, it was, you know, coming from a mid-major league, and, you know, how good was their resume, really? With Miami, it was their defense. And they kind of solved all of those throughout the tournament. I think this year, a lot of the teams you highlight as traditional, like, all right, these teams can make a run, they're teams that have been very inconsistent, that have never seemed to turn the corner. So how do we get there? They're going to win, you know, four straight, let alone six. I mean, that's hard to get behind. I do think it'll be chalkier. I do think that there could be some upsets. I think that, you know, so many people have, you know, already locked UConn into their Final Four. I think that region in particular is not as scripted as everyone may have it out to be. But it'll be very interesting.
There are a lot of complaints, as you know. Some of which you levied yourself, but a lot of complaints about the bracket and the committee specifically. And I don't know. I mean, I think there are certainly some teams that, you know, should have maybe been in, or some teams that shouldn't be in the first four that are in the first four, et cetera. I don't know. Like, my biggest complaint and takeaway from this is, like, why do we play conference tournaments? If you're set and you're in the field, why even risk it? Because there's nothing you can do if you're already in the tournament to improve your seeding. Like, did anybody improve their seeding at all? I mean, Iowa State ran through that thing like, you know, X-Lax, beat the hell out of Houston, still in the same region as a two seed as UConn, right? I mean, I would opt out. I would say I don't want to play if I'm one of these teams that's locked in.
Well, I think it's embarrassing that the committee is so open about the fact that certain games just don't matter. Like, the fact that the committee chair, Charles McClellan, like, sat up and said that, you know, FAU was already in the bracket
yep.
by the time they lost to Temple is crazy. Like, what other sport, right? Like, in the NBA, do we, like, oh, well, you know, if you lost the last four games of the year, it doesn't matter because you were already in the playoffs, right? That's not how it works. Like, it's a wild concept that this is a thing. But, like, so certain games just aren't considered, right? So I don't know what needs to change, whether it's, you know, change the dates of the conference tournaments, eliminate the conference tournaments for the high major teams, as you said, teams that are opting out, whatever, you know, just speed up the selection process, or whatever it is. The fact that, like, there are games that truly are not seriously considered
exactly
in the selection process is crazy.
Because I'm Houston, right? I'm Houston. I'm a one seed. No matter what happens, I'm a one seed. If I lose tomorrow, I'm a one seed. If I lose in 3 days, I'm a one seed. And it's not going to change my region where I'm headed, nothing. But now my big man, Juwan Roberts, is hurt because we played in this stupid tournament that added three more games to our schedule. And now I'm wondering about his shin, right? Like, I mean, I think that's a real – you've played so many games already, and you've been fortunate enough in this hypothetical to dodge, you know, injuries. But I tell you this, I would much rather have a healthy player that I need for the real one than worry about winning a Big 12 tournament title after I came in first year and won the regular season. You know, so like I do think if I'm a coach, I have to make that calculation. You guys have told me that if I'm in and I'm set, I can't do anything to enhance my resume. I'm not subjecting my team to getting hurt. I'm done. I'm not playing.
I mean, think about how much of a conversation this would be right now if Braden Smith's injury was actually serious. There was a second there where we were like, oh my God, you know, Purdue just lost its, you know, second best player, maybe its most important player in its point guard, like for the year based on a freak injury in a game that like meant nothing to them, right? I mean, like, I think it's something that people are going to consider. I think in general, the idea of like running from injuries and, oh, you don't want to play this game because you get it hurt. Like, to me, like that's, like, you know, the odds are no different one way or another, but like, again, why are you putting all the wear and tear on your bodies if nothing else, right? I mean, we've heard teams talk about how physically beaten down they've been from playing four games in 4 days or something like that in a conference tournament, and then have to, you know, pick up again and play 3 days later in the big dance. I mean, that's a challenge. I think coaches are going to be more and more judicious about it.
You touched on that East region where UConn's number one. Just how difficult is the road back to the Final Four in your eyes, Kevin, for UConn in the East?
I think they can get challenged in the second weekend. Like, I don't think Northwestern or Florida Atlantic are beating them. Yeah, but like I do think, I mean, the fact that they have to play an Auburn team that's top five in KenPom and the Sweet 16 potentially, that's real scary. And then you flow from that into Iowa State, who's rolling, or Illinois, who's rolling off of a conference tournament, right? Like, not only did you get teams that are really good, you got teams that are hot. And so to me, that would be what I'd be frustrated about if I'm UConn. I do think, you know, they're a great team for a reason. They've won big games. You know, I'm not necessarily, I wouldn't say I'm worried about them, but I will say that, like, it would not surprise me if someone can knock them off.
How about Tennessee, real quick? I know John's got some more for you, but this Tennessee team that has disappointed here, what, lost two in a row here down the stretch. We've seen Connect limited in some, you know, DJ Jeffries did a good job for him against him for Mississippi State. What is, you know, others I've seen say, no, they with this path, they can make a Final Four. Where are you on Tennessee and sort of what, how deep Rick Barnes may go or not?
I like the path. I think the bracket sets up well for them. I also think, like, you know, sometimes we read a lot into individual results without really contextualizing why, right? Like, did Tennessee play bad against Mississippi State? Excuse me? Yes, of course they did. Tennessee also shot 8 for 33 from 3 and missed some wide-open shots, yeah, right? Dalton Connect's a better shooter than 2 for 9, yeah, right? I mean, Santiago Viscovi was 0 for 4. He took wide-open one after wide-open one. So, in some ways, maybe they got it out of their system, right? You know, Tennessee's had a lot of, you know, disappointing March results that have been shooting driven, and maybe this year they got their bad one out of the way in the SEC tournament.
We are, of course, talking to Kevin Sweeney, covers college basketball for Sports Illustrated, also member, my colleague at the Field of 68. Sweeney, you know ball, and it's not because, you know, you've been beating the FAU drum, which I think even you were shocked, had to be shocked that they were as high as an 8 seed given everything that happened, but you know ball because you have Baylor, like I have Baylor, in your Final Four. Mm. Feels like nobody's talking about Baylor. Feels like they're kind of sneaking up on everybody, and they've been playing good basketball. They took Houston to overtime. They've stacked up some big wins here. What makes you like Baylor to get to the Final Four?
I mean, I think they have the right mix. You know, they have guys, you know, they have tons of shooting. They have a big man in East Misi who continues to improve. They have NBA talent and Walter and Misi. They've got a point guard in Ray J. Dennis. I think they've also shown some real grit down the stretch, right? Like, yes, this whole, the knock on them all year has been defensively they're not great, and I don't think they will be, but I do think that they've shown the ability to get down in the stance and get stops when they need to, right? Like, I think the Texas game they played, maybe the last Monday of the regular season, was a great example of this. Like, they could not get a stop for the entire first half. Were in real trouble, looked like they were going to beat on their home court. Then they finally sat down a little bit, got stopped, and then let their offense explode, which is liable to do. And obviously, it's a road that's, you know, doable. I mean, Clemson and New Mexico, you know, the winner of that game, you play them. That's not, like, the scariest thing in the world. And after that, I mean, Arizona's being consistent, and North Carolina's the weakest one seed, right? If you're looking for a region where there's going to be some chaos, I think it's that one.
Yes.
And so maybe Baylor is the beneficiary.
Completely agree. Looking forward to watching Baylor. They're here in Memphis. So we'll get an up-close and personal look at the next champion. Hey, Rick Pitino has some ideas, Kevin. He says get Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, and Coach K on the committee there. Now, is he just looking out for Rick Pitino, or do you think there's actually some merit to this suggestion?
Look, I think it needs to go one way or another. It needs to, we either need basketball people on the committee, or we need to get rid of the committee altogether and solve this with numbers, right? This current situation where, you know, the committee chair, Charles McClelland, is up there explaining these things, and it sounds like he's playing Mad Libs, right? He's like, oh, Michigan State got it because of their quad one wins. Well, they had three quad one wins all season. Teams with six got left out. Okay, well, the Mountain West teams, their seeds are bad because they only beat each other in the non-conference. Well, in the conference play, they didn't win non-conference games. Well, that doesn't work because TCU beat no one in the non-conference, and they lost to Nevada, who was seeded below them, right? Like, I mean, there was no logic to anything that was said. So either we need basketball people to sit up there and say, these are the best teams, they should be in, and it's very subjective, or we need a clear metrics-based system that says, if your numbers say this, you're a tournament team. If your numbers do not, you're not.
Kevin, I'm curious, and I know you and John have probably talked about this, so and so maybe a little bit of a repeat for him, but just your thoughts on this Memphis team that when they were 15-2 and number 10 in the country and had wins over, you know, VCU, Texas A&M, and Clemson, did you believe in them then? Were you as shocked by the collapses as we were here in Memphis?
Well, I always felt like there was another shoe to drop. Like, I never believed they were as good as everyone thought they were at one point. But I also did not expect it to be like this, right? Like, I'd be lying if I thought they would have missed the tournament. I'd be lying if I said I thought they'd lose to Rice and, you know, that. Like, it was a true collapse. I do think it's going to be more and more common that teams do just kind of blow up at first adversity in this NIL portal age. Like, I think it's very challenging to keep teams together once things go bad. But, I mean, yeah, it was shocking for it to get as bad as it did for this Memphis group, no question.
And then for the bigger picture, this is now two tournament appearances in six seasons for Penny Hardaway. He's going to have to replace a lot on this roster. We don't know who's coming. We don't know who's going. There will be certainly more to come. There's a pending academic investigation. Just from your national perspective of this job, is it a situation where if he doesn't make the tournament next season, you look at making the change, or is that crazy talk?
I don't think it's crazy talk. Look, I think we've seen how challenging it is to deal with these former players, these legends. And so I necessarily can't just say, oh, well, you know, the results are the results, so he's out, or the results are the results, he's in. But I will say, like, I would be looking to make a change if they can't seriously rebound next year. Because I still think Memphis is a really good job. I still think they have the resources to compete. And at some point, like, the results are the results, right? I mean, missing the NCAA tournament this year with the roster that they had was a huge miss, a massive disappointment.
I agree.
And if theoretically the roster will be in the same place next year, right? They're going to get talent. And if they don't, that's on Penny. But assuming that they do and they miss the tournament with talent again, I think you start to wonder, all right, what's the direction?
Is this something
Absolutely. That
everybody is dealing with, though? Like, I mean, this is the world we live in college basketball, where you're going to have players leave and come and go. Is this a situation where Memphis is just picking the wrong guys of the one-year ilk and other places have just sort of figured out the formula? Or are other schools able to find multi-year transfer guys who have multiple years of eligibility and keep them? Like, what's it look like, you know, on average in college basketball as it relates to roster construction?
I think Memphis has gone to the extremes of chaos, right? Like everyone's roster's in turmoil. Everyone's turning over guys. Everyone's losing key pieces. But not everyone is turning the entire thing over every year, which is really hard to do. Not everyone is doing it so late into the offseason, right? I mean, it has become, it's almost become a joke to me with other friends in the industry. Like, you see a name go in at a random time, you're like, oh, it's probably Memphis Tiger, right? Like, that's the way it is, and it probably shouldn't be that, right? Like, there needs to be some clear direction in how you're building a team. Part of that's having some continuity guys, some holdovers, but I think just beyond that, like, it can't be, oh, we'll see what we can tamper with in July, or we'll see who can fall out of the clouds in August. Like, that can't be how this operates long-term. That's not a winning model.
I could not agree more, and that's why it's chaotic, and you have, drastic falls from grace, because you can only live on that borrowed time for so long. Hey, Sweeney, man, great stuff as always, dude.
Thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate you guys.
Yep, he is Kevin Sweeney, covers college basketball for Sports Illustrated, Field of 68. He's on Twitter at @CBB_Central. I think a lot of what he said is true.
I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
God forbid, but you're making a tournament next year. You have to. The results are the results at that point.
Exactly.
Can't just be the coach because he's Penny. Exactly. You would be failing.
Can't just say, all right, well, keep trying.
You'd be failing the job at that point.
You've had seven cracks at it at that time, you know?
Yep.
I mean, the sample size at that point, I think, is finished. You know, you kind of know whether or not is this just?
But it's like I was telling you yesterday. We won't know until maybe midway through the year next year.
Oh, 100%.
Because it could always look good on paper. He's going to go get players, but you won't know anything about it until they got to go get some adversity.
Exactly.
With this many to replace, to Kevin's point. Yep. And you and I were saying this is hard to do long ago. Exactly. Like, this is not ideal, replacing 10, 11 every year.
Yep.
This is not the way to do it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.